Have you ever tried to explain to a three-year-old why it is that the Hawkeye costume from the movie is nowhere near as cool as the Hawkeye costume from the Avengers comic books? I have, but I'm not going to talk about that. No, I'm going to talk about Halloween safety tips, sodium intake, and a school lunch program that is failing. All that and a whole lot more right around the corner on a brand new Dob. Welcome to the 108th edition of the Parenting Podcast, I named Daddy on Board. My name is Mike Quackenbush, and I'm your host this week, and probably for several weeks hereafter. Our program is delivered to you absolutely free, thanks to the generous support of Cobra Electronics, who are not just patrons of the podcasting arts, but also makers of an immense array of cutting-edge gadgets that will make you a safer and more alert traveler. Aim your favorite browser at cobra.com to find out more. Before you and I speak again, loyal Dob Bobbers, the ritual of Halloween will pass. And as you can imagine, every school, every blogger, every government agency out there issues lists of safety tips for Halloween. Not just for your little ones, but as I discovered, for your pets as well. So I'm going to share some of these with you now. Some of these I think are kind of obvious, but there were quite a few that I would not have thought of, and I'm going to share them all with you right now. If you're out accompanying your little one, make sure to remove any candy that is not properly packaged or sealed, anything that looks like it presents a choking hazard. I'm talking about things like peanuts or little hard candies. If you're worried about saving time during the mad dash when you get home to start consuming the candy, then take a second bag on the road with you and sort the candy as you're getting it from house to house. That way you've got a safe bag and the other bag ready before you get home. If your kids are going out without you, let them know that it's only okay to enter a home if they're with a trusted adult or it's someone that they know. Only visit well-lit houses. Do not stop at the dark houses. They don't have any candy there. You want to make sure your kid's costume is a light color. If it's not, you want to supply them with a flashlight or glow stick. You might even want to get creative using reflective tape. You could put it on their utility belt or trim their fairy wings with it. You could even wrap their candy bucket in the reflective tape. Helps make them stand out. Don't want kids getting run over on Halloween. Let them know that they should avoid eating homemade treats that are made by strangers. There's a lot of urban myths from the 80s that I was terrorized by that speak to this. You want to make sure, of course, that your kids' costumes are flame retardant, that they're not too long or oversized. This keeps them from tripping, you know, like that lion costume with the overly long tail that somehow keeps wrapping its way around their legs. But let your kids know that even if they do have a flame retardant costume, to stay away from any kind of open flame, even a candle, or, you know, some people go to bonfires on Halloween, things like that. Your flame retardant costume is not meant to be tested, okay? They are very temperamental. This is an important one, and because I never wore costume makeup as a kid, I guess this never dawned on me. But it's important to have your kids remove any costume makeup, or like if they use spirit gum or anything else, like to attach a fake mustache or things like that. Remove all of that before bedtime to prevent skin and eye irritations. I never would have thought of that one. If you're traveling out with little kids, pick and stick to the route you plan ahead of time. You can even make a map to cross off the houses as you go. If your family's splitting up into multiple groups, make sure everybody has a well-charged cell phone before they head out into the night. Important to remember that accessories like swords, sabers, and knives, in the event, I guess, that your kids are going out as ninjas, Jedis, or pirates, these should be soft and flexible to avoid injury, if your kid were to trip or something like that. I don't know that anybody's out there with a real sword, but just in case you were entertaining that idea, families of buccaneers, you may want to go the soft, flexible route. This was posted on a governmental website. I'd like to read it to you exactly as it was presented. Here it is. Tell this to your kids. From the U.S. government. Vandalism is never cool. Throwing eggs at cars and houses is not cool. Someone has to clean it up, and it could be you if you get caught. You can also be arrested and punished as a juvenile. There you go. That's what the government thinks of Halloween. This, I had no idea about this. Kind of sad and disturbing. But did you know that Halloween is like the high watermark for the abuse of cats? I did not know this. Well, hurting animals is never acceptable behavior, of course, and in fact, a lot of places it's punishable by law. But even if it weren't, you should never hurt a helpless living thing, and it's important to impart that to our little ones, especially if, you know, they're of the age where they go out with their friends as opposed to with you, a responsible, respectable, upstanding member of society that we parents all are. Also important to remember on the animal front that chocolate in all forms, especially dark chocolate or baking chocolate, is very dangerous for dogs and cats. These things are not for your pets. Even candy can be very, very dangerous if it contains the artificial sweetener xylitol. Keep that away from the family pets. Just, you know, let your kids get the cavities. That's what I'm saying. So if you can keep all of that in mind, then, yeah, try and have fun on Halloween. All right, well, let's move from the world of pagan holidays into the medical realm. I want to relate to you some information that was contained in a recently published piece by the Wall Street Journal about high sodium in kids. Children and teens, on average, consume as much sodium as adults, and that may be putting those who are overweight or obese at an extreme risk of high blood pressure, according to a brand new study that was published in the journal Pediatrics. You remember them, of course, from the X-Files. They analyzed the diets and blood pressure of children between the ages of 8 and 18 in a National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And what they found is that children consumed an average of almost 3,400 milligrams of sodium a day. That's the same amount as U.S. adults consume on average, and it's well above the dietary guideline limit. They're saying that the consumption for sodium for someone between the ages of 8 and 18 should be less than 2,300 milligrams per day. That's less than one teaspoon of table salt. Now, for people 2 years of age or older, actually, it's an even smaller amount. They recommend that it stays under 1,500 milligrams. That's also true for older people as well, like senior citizens. That's what they mean by older people, I think. Now, salt's the latest front in the struggle to get we Americans to eat a healthier diet. Certainly, there have been popular moves over recent years to reduce our fat intake as well as sugar intake. Studies have shown a link between sodium consumption and blood pressure, though there is debate over how much sodium contributes to cardiovascular disease. This study showed that for children of normal weight, the risk of developing high blood pressure, or what they're calling pre-high blood pressure now, rose 6% for every 1,000 milligrams of sodium consumed per day. But this is the information you really want to bear in mind. The risk for children who are overweight, it rises 74%. 74%. Yeah, which is huge. Quote, we found a significant association between high sodium intake and high blood pressure among all the kids we studied, but it was magnified among kids who were overweight or obese, end quote, said Dr. Yang, the lead author and a senior scientist in the Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's the CDC. This study, however, did not address why sodium's effect is so much greater in those who weigh more. So, right, as you're eating all that Halloween candy, just bear in mind, you got to get the sodium intake down, too. That's not too much to remember. Well, with all this talk about candy and sodium intake, you know, it's important that we get our kids to eat healthier, right? Everybody knows that. That's why they came up with the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. Yeah, the government's looking out for us. Well, guess what? These new healthier school lunches, yeah, they're getting over like a ton of bricks. For example, outside Pittsburgh right now, a strike among school children is going on. They're taking to Twitter and Facebook to spread the word about it. Just outside of Milwaukee, there's a boycott going on of a school lunch program. And in a small farming community in Western Kansas, they produce parody videos about the new school lunch program. There's an ongoing protest in Parsippany, New Jersey, by high school students, and they are complaining about their new lunches. They're healthier, but they're also smaller portions, and they cost more. Now, public schools have to follow new nutritional guidelines this academic year in order to receive extra federal lunch aid. But this has created a nationwide version of the age-old challenge. How do you get the kids to eat what's good for them? Well, now, lunches have to include fruits and vegetables. So there's more things like string beans and peach cups turning up where previously it used to be French fries and nachos. But because of the new limits on fat and sodium that these guidelines set forth, and because of calorie restrictions, the portions are smaller. Even 2% chocolate milk's gone. Now skim milk is the way to go. And in protest to this, kids are throwing their lunches away. They're brown bagging it. For example, just outside of Milwaukee at Mukwango High School, I'm sure I said that wrong. Participation in the school lunch program this year has dropped off 70% as a result. In New Jersey, attendees of Parsippany Hills High School, over 1,200 of them, have joined a Facebook group urging kids to boycott the school lunch program. And, as I said, even though the portions are shrinking, the cost is actually going up. This is in portion to help offset the additional cost of bringing in fresh fruits and vegetables, which are mandated by this new government program. They have no choice. But a number of protesters have pointed out that these, for example, mandatory bags of chilled carrot slices or apples that are being handed out, they must be handed out to every kid that comes through the lunch line, just end up being thrown in the trash. Is there a resolution to this? I'm not entirely sure. I certainly didn't eat very healthy when I was of school age. In fact, in an effort to save some of my lunch money so that I could enable my burgeoning comic book habit, there were days where all I ate for lunch was a donut, a frosted donut. It wasn't just like a plain donut. It was slathered in like a vanilla frosting. In fact, I think at least 3 days a week, that was what my lunch was in high school. And I want you to know that I still managed to turn out as a podcaster, professional wrestler, and a parent. All those things are true. I've managed to be all of those things in limited capacities. And I don't know that any of that's really directly linked to my donut consumption. So, yeah. Yeah, we can try and make them healthy, but yeah, it just backfires. They hate it. Real quick, before I tell you about our sponsor, I wanted to update you about a story from a very recent Daddy on Board. You remember, of course, the story of the Texan mother who had superglued her daughter's hands to the wall and then beat her into a coma? That court case was ongoing as I was recording a previous edition of Daddy on Board. If you didn't follow the story, I just wanted to let you know very quickly, she was sentenced to 99 years in prison, which I'm pretty sure means she's going to die there. All right. Hey. Now I want to tell you about, Is there a frequent commuter on your holiday shopping list this year? Well, if so, let me tell you about two remarkable innovations from our friends and great show sponsors over at Cobra Electronics, including the brand new iRadar 200 system. This is the latest model of Cobra's multi-award-winning detection system, and the Cobra iRadar 200 consists of a sleek dash-mounted smart detector unit that pairs through Bluetooth technology to a powerful yet intuitive smartphone app. Together, the system detects police radar and laser signals and notifies users in real time of upcoming caution areas, excessive vehicle speed, live police and photo enforcement areas, and then automatically shares caution information with other iRadar users nearby. The new system offers universal support for both Android and iOS smartphone devices. Now, our friends at Cobra have also rolled out, this is their brand spanking new one, the Vedetta series. That's right, the newly released Cobra Vedetta is setting the new standard at the very high end of the radar laser detection market. The Vedetta line sports a 2.5-inch TFT color LCD display, and it can be mounted virtually anywhere on your windshield or dashboard. Not only does the Vedetta deliver unparalleled performance and range, but it also boasts an integrated GPS receiver and free lifetime access to its Aura national database of speed trap locations. The Cobra Vedetta Ultimate Detection Systems are designed to maximize driver comfort, safety, and situational awareness of the driving environment. So, if you've got a gadget hound or a hard-to-buy-for, hard-traveling type on your holiday gift list, head over to Cobra Electronics right now and find out about these and other fine innovations from our pals and show sponsors at Cobra.com. Okay, then. Oh, well, if all this talk about things like Halloween candy and sodium and school lunches wasn't enough for you, here's one more quick thing. First, I'll give you like the alarmist headline, and then I'll tell you a little bit more information about it. This is true. Sad. Very, very sad, but true. Did you know that last year a Maryland girl died after drinking two 24-ounce cans of Monster Energy drink? Well, last week, her parents filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the company. And the Food and Drug Administration, yeah, the FDA, the government, they are looking into all the possible reasons linked to this death. Now, thankfully, a Monster Energy spokesperson has said that they're unaware of any fatalities caused by its drinks, which is a real relief because I didn't realize that that was even a risk of having these energy drinks. Well, a number of people who should know, including Dr. Steven Lipschultz, professor of pediatrics at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine, has come out and said that parents should know these kinds of energy drinks actually hold no benefit for children whatsoever, in addition to the fact that they may not be safe for children's hearts. There is absolutely no science that shows that kids get a boost in energy from drinking energy drinks. They might think that it will bring them more energy. They might think that it will help them lose weight or perform better in sports. But there is zero evidence to show this within kids. And unfortunately, on the flip side of it, it could interfere with their sleep, which ultimately makes them more tired. A lot of these contain high amounts of sugar, and that impedes weight loss. So it actually achieves the opposite reason of why some are consuming these things in the first place. Many of them, as you know, are also high in caffeine, a stimulant. In terms of the simple science of it here, just something to think about. This is true no matter what your age might be here. This comes from our friend, Dr. John Higgins at the University of Texas Medical School at Houston. He says, quote, what you have here is a situation where your heart rate and blood pressure go up, and the heart would need to dilate those arteries because it's working harder. But instead, because of these drinks, they're actually impaired. So these arteries don't dilate. Everything becomes sluggish and slower. The evidence shows that the compounds in these energy drinks may slow the flow of blood through the coronary arteries that bring oxygen and nutrients to your heart muscle. So all of this, I think, to sum it up is, if possible, you may want to go out with the may do without the energy drinks. And you definitely don't want your kids drinking the energy drinks. So there's one more awful bit of cautionary dietary information brought to you courtesy of Daddy on Board. I'm glad to be of service. Parents, have you been wondering how long you can possibly put off having the uber-awkward birds and bees discussion with your little one? I'm about to issue something that can only be called life spoiler alert. 20-year-old data that was collected has been disregarded. Now, in the wake of a new study of more than 4,000 boys nationwide that show that boys are entering puberty at an even younger age than ever previously expected. This new study says that boys as young as age 9 for African American boys and age 10 for European American and Hispanic American boys are aging or reaching puberty. European American, by the way, is like the new buzzword for white people. Okay? I'm just white. I don't know if African American people want to be called black or whatever, but I am a European American and you can just call me white. Okay? Let's reduce that to the least number of syllables. There are theories as to why this is happening. Could it be higher levels of obesity or inactivity or different chemicals in food and water? Because all of these interfere with normal hormone production. But all of these are just theories. There's no proof of any of these. And some are even saying that they don't know that this trend is real. For example, Dr. William Adelman, an adolescent medicine specialist from Baltimore, says that this new study that's been released, the one conducted nationwide across 4,000 boys, is the first one that finds early strong physical evidence about boys maturing at an earlier age. But it doesn't offer concrete proof, and it does raise a lot of questions, says Dr. Adelman. Now, this study was published online by the journal Pediatrics. Man, they come up a lot on this podcast. I should get like a subsidy from these people because, you know, they're all just like living off our tax dollars. Like, how can I get that money? I want that government money. Anyway, this coincided with the American Academy of Pediatrics National Conference in New Orleans. So, right. Yeah. Ages 9 to 10. Which is a lot sooner than any of us would ever want to have that discussion, I'm sure. All right, I've got one more story I want to share with you this week before I read your little victories at the end of the program. And this one is the ever-relevant topic of bullying. Now, much research probing the link between bullying and mental health focuses on how those that are bullied end up with developmental issues like anxiety and or depression. But there's a new study out that suggests the relationship does go both ways, finding that boys and girls with mental health disorders are 3 times more likely to be the bully, to play the role of the bully, that is to say. Now, this new information was presented by the American Academy of Pediatrics at their national conference, and they found that kids with, get ready, here it comes, oppositional defiant disorder, ODD. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The acronym is ODD. Oppositional defiant disorder. That's going to make them feel included. They found that kids with ODD, and this is characterized by having frequent tantrums and revenge seeking, these kids are 6 times more likely to be identified as the bully than children with no mental health disorders, while children with depression were 3 times more likely. Now, children with anxiety and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that's ADHD kids, were also around 3 times more likely to be the bullies, according to parental reports. Quote, there is a larger story behind why children bully, said study author Dr. Francis Turcotte-Benedict, a Brown University Master's of Public Health student and a fellow at the Hasbro Children's Hospital in Providence. Quote, and part of the story may include the diagnosis of a mental health disorder, Dr. Turcotte-Benedict went on to say. Now, she and her colleagues used data provided by the parents of over 64,000 children as part of the 2007 National Survey for Children's Health. And approximately 15% of the children in this survey had been identified as bullies. Dr. Stephen Myers, a professor of psychology from Roosevelt University and a Chicago-based clinical psychologist, he did not work on the new study, said that the findings are not surprising to him, especially in terms of ODD. That's oppositional defiant disorder, if you forgot already. That disorder, which affects between 1 and 16% of all school-aged children, is characterized by many of the traits associated with bullying. Dr. Myers wasn't surprised either to find that children with ADHD are more likely to function in the role of the bully. He said this, quote, even though, by definition, these children aren't angry or aggressive toward their peers, they do display traits that would increase the likelihood of having impaired social interactions. If you're not really thinking through the consequences of your actions on the playground, you might not have the self-monitoring or restraint to hold back from bullying. End quote there from Dr. Myers, who delivered said quote to the Huffington Post. So what does this mean? In my opinion, what it means is this, that soon the same kinds of psychotropic medications that are being used to treat attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, all these other kinds of things are also going to start being used to sanitize our playgrounds of bullying, at least the ones that they can somehow manage to properly diagnose as being ODD. And by that, I don't mean simply the word ODD. I mean the acronym for oppositional defiant disorder. I'm sure a lot more will be coming out of that, as are there tons of stories that came out of this national conference for the AAP. A little while ago there down in New Orleans. So, oh man, really uplifting week on the Dub this week. And it wouldn't be an episode of Daddy on Board unless I rounded things out by reading your little victories. And so I will. These were sent to us on Twitter, Google Plus, or on our Facebook fan page, including this one from longtime Dub bobber and frequent contributor Terry Leaders, who wrote to me. A little victory is I took my 8-year-old, oh no, 8-month-old, that's much younger than years, took my 8-month-old son Liam on his first plane ride. He did awesome and was enthralled with looking out the window, although Shatner was nowhere to be found. Terry, I'm not sure I understand that last reference, unless the plane that you were taking was circling William Shatner's estate. In which case, I think you need to be careful because there's certain like stalker laws you may be in violation of. Over on Facebook, Liz Gregorius wrote to me, her little victory is that her son is almost 16 and still alive. I guess this speaks to his reckless behavior, Liz. Thank you for sending your little victory in. Scott Fields also wrote to me about some interesting parenting techniques, perhaps, is the way to put it. He mentioned that his daughter hated spaghetti, so instead they would eat noodles and sauce, which she loved. Always give children the choice when you want them to do something. For example, Scott recommends you can vacuum the house or mop the kitchen floor. Now, as teenagers, Scott uses the most powerful teenage control mechanism known to man, the smartphone. Threaten to take that sucker away, says Scott Fields, and they'll do anything. All right. Lisa, whose middle name I've Got the Moves Like Jagger, I suspect is false, wrote this. I think any day you can make it through without wanting to use duct tape is a little parenting victory. And you know, duct tape's very useful, Lisa. I'm failing in that regard. However, I can say, with some paternal pride, I have never applied duct tape to my son. Last but not least, Christopher Scott Bowling Jr. wrote that he potty trained his 3-year-old while she was sick and pooping like a waterfall, said Christopher Scott Bowling Jr. Like a waterfall. Which is a delicate lyric. I'm surprised that TLC didn't use that. Very delicate lyric. Pooping like a waterfall. You can send your little victories in to me. There's a good chance I'll read them here on a future edition of The Dob. In the meanwhile, you can catch me over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. The most recently released episode, we talk a lot of stuff, like Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, the brand new Donald Fagen solo album, and my friend Clayton Morris's Adventures in Vigilanteism. That's on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. This weekend, I'm back on The Trending Show with Natalie Morris, where I'll discuss all the top trending topics in Google and on Twitter. We'll keep you up to date with what the kids are talking about on The Trending Show. Also, you might catch me this weekend. I'm going to be live on a free preview from Allentown, Pennsylvania. You can watch Wrestling is Fun. This will stream out live over on smvod.com. That's Smart Mark Video on Demand. smvod.com. As a test of the new pay-per-view equipment, they're going to let you watch it for free. I'm in action against Mr. Touchdown Mark Angelosetti on Saturday night. That starts streaming live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then I'll be back here in about a week with a podcast I am likely to entitle Daddy on Board 109. Until then, adios, mis amigos.